The views and opinions expressed by the guests on this podcast are that of their own. In no way, shape, or form do they reflect the official policy or position of the Bottom Dwellers Dive Shack.
You've descended into the Bottom Dwellers Dive Shack, a commercial diving podcast by working divers for divers.
This episode is brought to you by Ocean Eye Inc. Ocean Eye's main focus is you, the commercial diver. With industry-leading end-to-end service and expertise, they got everything you need for your next dive job. You need your gear maintenance or repaired? Need some new products or consulting? Ocean Eye's got you covered. Give them a call at 610-621-5750 or visit them online at OceanEyeInc.com.
Hey guys, welcome to the Bottom Dwellers Dive Shack. We've got a special treat for you this week, Johnny.
I didn't even know we were starting. Yeah,
we're starting now.
We're starting. Yeah, we went to Poseidon Brewing.
Poseidon Brewing. Now we went there, you know, it's if you're listening now, we went there a couple months ago.
Yep.
And it was a great episode. It was all diving related. So we're trying to keep the beer club shows separate from the Dive Shack shows because a lot of you guys out there don't drink beer, don't drink at all.
Which is weird, but that's fine.
Which is fine.
It's fine.
Well, people have their reasons.
Yeah, you know? It's fine.
But as me and Johnny, commercial divers, it kind of goes almost hand in hand. Not when we're working, obviously.
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 So we have the Poseidon Brewing episode. We had a great time there. And Ollie was an amazing guest. He's also the owner, and he was a former Navy diver. So he, once he retired, he decided to open up a brewery called Poseidon Brewing Company.
And it's fantastic. If you've never been to Ventura, or if you are going to go to Ventura, California anytime soon, I would go check it out. It's
yeah, and if you're ex-military, it's a military town around Port Hueneme, and a lot of Seabees go there. They just recently had the Seabees Hall of Fame people that were there drinking some beers, and we also interviewed Lisa Correa there.
Oh, yes.
Who's the first African-American female Seabee diver.
Yes.
And that was a good episode. That was recorded there at Poseidon Brewing. So give this episode a listen. Let us know what you think, and if you haven't done so already, please subscribe to that show as well. Even if you don't listen to it, you know, please subscribe and
please. You know,
there's going to be some more ocean water centric breweries and stuff that we're going to cover because there's a lot of ex-divers, you know,
and it's fun
that own breweries now.
It's a fun show.
It's a fun show. It's a fun show.
We don't always want to talk about diving. God.
Yeah.
That's like working
while you're working.
While you're working.
After work?
After work.
Right.
That's terrible.
So yeah, give this a listen. Follow us on Instagram, Bottom Dwellers Beer Club, B-I-E-R, Club.
Yeah.
And it's also on our website. Our website has been changed a little bit. We put a homepage there that you can click to enter the Dive Shack, and you can click to enter the beer club. So we're definitely going to have a lot of treats and surprises in the coming months for both.
Yes.
So here we go. Take it away.
Welcome.
It's not AC/DC, but I'll take it.
To the Bottom Dwellers Beer Club.
We finally ready to splash.
We are here.
My goodness.
At Poseidon Brewing.
Fucking divers left surface. Charts mark time.
My God.
Always waiting on the diver. Always waiting on the diver.
Always.
The WOD, waiting on the diver. That's what I like to call it.
Suit up, hat up, get in the damn water.
So this is a special episode for us. Because as many of you know, we are commercial divers, Johnny and I.
Yes.
This is a beer club episode where we, you know, talk to brewers, breweries, and eateries, and fine dining establishments.
Yes.
Such as the delicious food truck that you have right outside.
Game over. Game over.
Man, it was game over when I bit that burrito.
It's all game over. That food was game over. They made some phenomenal food.
But Ollie, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for letting us jump in here to Poseidon Brewing.
Likewise,
get to know
guys.
A little bit about the brewery, a little bit about yourself. And the whole concept behind Poseidon.
I'm surprised you guys had me back after that train wreck of a brewery tour we did earlier.
No, man, that brewery tour is great.
No, I loved it. That was fantastic. But you know what we didn't go over in the brewery tour is I didn't notice these lights in here
I just
were
saw
kegs.
Too.
Yeah, those.
And the giant prop of a fan. You see that too?
Yeah.
I didn't even know. The BAF, the big ass fan, literally. Yeah, but the kegs, we actually made those also, the keg lights.
That's awesome. Yep.
Much gooder?
Much gooder.
More gooder.
Yeah, I know. We got caught up talking about the big black pipe with a bend in it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. The all natural
bend. So if you guys want to see that big black pipe, y'all better check out the YouTube videos that we got going, the Instagram videos on the Bottom Builders Beer Club. And we might even throw this one on the Dive Shack, too. So for those that don't know, we also have a commercial diving podcast called the Bottom Builders Dive Shack. Make sure to check it out and give us a like and a follow. Shameless plug right off of the bat.
Right off of the bat.
Poseidon Bruin, how you doing? Your name is, your friends call you Ollie.
Yeah, yeah, that's kind of the running joke. Like if I'm really going to drop this one out there, somebody comes in and they ask for Marvin, they don't know who the fuck I am. They come in and ask for Brian. We have a history. If they come in for Ollie, I tell everybody, stop what you're doing. Come get me. They're friends of mine. So
awesome. Thanks.
Great. Now everyone's going to come in here and be like, hey, what's up, Ollie?
Yeah. I need to see Ollie immediately.
That's why. I probably shouldn't have said that.
No. Ollie to us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Wow, you're just there.
Mr. Brian, to the rest of you that are listening. I'm there, man. Once I have this delicious beer.
Check the privilege. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, cheers.
So good.
Yeah, cheers, fellas.
How many beers do you have here at Poseidon Brewing?
We've made probably over 70 different beers, 70 different unique beers. And then we also have another series called Spindrift, but it's a single malt, single hop IPA. We probably made 28 of those alone where we just change out the hop. So a lot of beers, man, a lot of beers. That's why our logo is like Ales with Depth, you know, because we got the depth and breadth of them. Anything from light lagers all the way to, like, as you guys had earlier, the Dirty Diver and
this is the Imperial,
the regular grapefruit.
Yeah, the Imperial was top notch.
Imperial's no joke, dude.
Yeah, I enjoyed that.
10% demon.
Are you doing a full pint of that?
He switched to the unleaded version.
Yeah. Taking it easy now.
How do you come up with the names for your beers?
A little bit of spitballing. A lot of them, they're nautical themed, dive themed, you know, to kind of fit with the name of the brewery. Some of them, they probably don't even get a name till 2 seconds when we put them up on the board. When we had the old chalkboard in the Davy Jones locker tap room, we're like, what are we going to call this beer? We're releasing it like right now. And we're opening the doors in a couple hours. What are we going to call it?
Dude, that's how I name all my kids.
Yeah, nothing.
Like, seriously, I think one we had a name right before.
Yeah, nothing motivates anybody more in the last second, right?
Yeah.
Like, we should probably name this beer.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah, one of my kids didn't have a name for 3 days. 3 days. Then we end up giving her 5 names.
That's awesome. Well, made up for it.
Yeah. This is great, man. I just love the ambiance. Everything is a nautical theme, diver theme. And you got great beer. I mean, the beer here is amazing. When did you guys open up?
We opened up and we just had our 8-year anniversary. We opened up in 2014. I know the logo says 2013, but 2013 is when we were actually like a licensed official company on paper. And I was still active duty military and deploying and whatnot. So it was about a year by the time that we found a place, signed a lease, did all the training, went through the package with the city, do the build out and everything. So it was literally a year later on 2014 when we opened up, August 11th. Yeah,
nice.
The name of the brewery, people ask, like, what's up with the name? You know, a lot of people know nowadays, but when we first started, what's up with the name? It was actually going to be Deep Sea Brewing Company.
No way.
Yeah, no shit. It was going to be Deep Sea Brewing Company, and it's going to sound like a name drop, but it's not. At the time, it was a winery opened up in Santa Barbara called Deep Sea Winery. And we're like, So, you know, we went back to the drawing board and we were like, well, what about the God of the Deep Blue Sea instead of Deep Sea? And it's like, dude, as soon as I heard it, I'm like, that's it. That's it. And it was like, it's almost like it happened for a reason. So that's where the name Poseidon came from. And it's like a, it's a little homage to a career that I had in the Navy. It's underwater construction diver.
Awesome.
Very nice.
So you were a Navy diver. Is that a, like a first class Navy diver?
Yeah, I retired as a senior chief, first class diver.
Nice. Awesome. Got a senior chief.
Yep.
Senior chief.
Don't hate the eight. Yeah, watch out for those even number chiefs, man. The Navy silverback gorilla.
That's great. Man. So when I first came here, it was kind of a smaller spot, you know, and the cool thing about that spot was it's real tight, you know, close knit. You had the artistry on the chalkboard, you know, the beer names. And first thing that I saw were the dive helmet lights. Again, check out the videos that we post on this this interview. Got to check them out. But they're so cool.
Yeah, that's the Davy Jones locker room.
Nice. So that's still, you brought that back in service, right?
It is a thing. It is amazing. You know, over 7-8 years, man, how many memories ever built in that place? And then our clientele, they've grown to love it. It was, I don't want to say they were mad at us for opening up this place, but it's a funny way to open up the Davy Jones locker. But yeah, that's where we got our humble starts, man. It was probably like about a 700 square foot tap room, and talking about the lights. Like we talked on the tour earlier today, I was like, you know, we could do anything you want to do, but like, there's going to be dive helmet lights over the bar.
Nice.
So it's just going to, and then the original tap handles, we modeled those after the Mark V dive knife. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I love being in that room. It was my first time going in there, and it made me feel very elitist. It was so small, but I enjoyed it a lot.
A lot of memories, man.
That's like the members. VIP room now, right?
Yeah, the VIP. Now you
it's the bubble room.
Don't even look at it.
Champagne room.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
How many champagne rooms have you been in?
Somebody
had to
see.
You're not having a special event. Don't even look
but
at it.
But it is not technically the champagne room, but it is a private event room now.
Right.
Yeah. And we did bring it back for this summer. We did like a throwback Thursdays where we opened up the Davy Jones locker for Thursdays. But a huge hit. Yep.
Nice. That's awesome. What's the process like, you know, as far as designing your next beers or coming up with the recipes? Like, does it happen on the toilet where most of my great thinking happens?
Right. Or is it just you, or is it a group of guys?
We got this big wall over there. We just throw a dart at it.
Just
no, it's
coins.
No, it's, I don't know. It's a little hodgepodge, I guess I should say. So it's like, I read this cool article and I'm like, oh, that looks freaking sexy. Let's do that. Or, you know, some of the new styles of beers come out and you want to try your hand at those.
Right.
Or like, or it could be just going, stepping back into like traditional. I mean, we've always brewed ales, but we got two, we actually got three lagers on the board right now.
Nice.
Cali Commons kind of like a lager, but that was one of the things where you know, anybody can brew like a big 7-10% IPA and pack it with hops and stuff. And it's like, you know, you need to test. Yeah. You need to test your limits. And like a real test of a good brewer is if you can make a damn good lager.
Yeah.
Because I equate it to, the best saying that I've ever heard was like, it's like showing up to the party naked. You ain't hiding nothing. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you better have it dialed in. So that's like a thing like, hey, let's test ourselves. We haven't brewed any lagers. Let's get on it. You know, let's knock this thing out. And now we got Liberty Card Lager. And then we brewed our first Pilsner just recently, the Pufferfish Pilsner. And then the Cali Common. Yeah.
Now, how do you do your lagers? Because that's the step fermentation, right, for the most part.
Well, there's a lot of debate on that. So a lot of traditional people,
that's why
they're,
I stayed away from it, because it seemed too complicated to maintain the temperatures that you need.
Some big lager breweries out there are going to like, I'm going to get the hate mail for this one, but like not necessary.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know if you guys tried the Pufferfish or the Liberty Card or whatnot, but those are all single infusion mashes. I think the step mash stuff is really old school. It's great. I get you can squeeze a little bit more character and whatnot, but this is juice really worth the squeeze? I don't know. I'll leave that up to the consumer, but you can make a phenomenal lager just keeping it simple.
Oh yeah.
The simple step mash or a simple infusion mash it makes a beautiful lager.
Can't wait to try it.
I will be having one. I'm going to do the pufferfish.
Oh, you're doing the pufferfish?
No, not right now. Yeah, next.
Nice. Heck yeah. That's pretty awesome, man. So as far as like your events that you have here, like is there any planning in that? You told us you had an Oktoberfest. You just had your 8th anniversary. How awesome was that? Tons. I was looking at the pictures. And
this is where I'm going to do some name dropping. Vanita, my wife, which I call the smart person in the business. I lift heavy stuff in the back. But she's the one who like really, really does the back of the heavy administrative lifting. The t-shirt designs, working with the designers, working with all the people who are going to make the glasses, the logos, what type of glass we're going to get that year. Like what bands are going to be lined up, scheduling the band. I mean, all those devils in the details. She is just freaking phenomenal at that stuff. Like light years ahead of what I would ever be. But there is a ton of freaking work on the backside that goes in that all the way before we open the doors on those days and like welcome people in. And then my hat is off to her. Like she is one of the hardest damn working women I know, like inspirational, no shit. We would not be where we're at right now or at a brewery if it wasn't for her pulling the strings in the back. Yeah.
It's amazing.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
I mean, so it's tons a great of work. Partnership.
Yeah. You know? And stressful, no.
She likes beer too, though, right? Does she like beer or she like wine?
Both of them.
Both of them.
Both of them.
Nice, both of them.
Yeah, both of them. She's definitely a beer drinker, man. I mean, she's always like, hey, bring me a 4-pack home.
Ain't gonna argue with that.
She loves the fruit beers. Like Watermelon Blonde is like one of her favorites. We literally blew the last keg yesterday. But now it's like, bring me the Blue Barpoon home, the blueberry rhubarb we just put on. So
that's cool.
Yeah, but she's a huge beer drinker.
She your taste tester too?
She is. Oh my God! I'm glad you brought that up.
Say, like, does she hear the names and be like, you know, what? That sucks. That's you, so stupid.
Have you guys ever heard of the terminology like super taster?
No.
Okay, so there's things like all flavors in beers and diacetyl. I don't know. Some people pronounce that different, but that's just one of them, and. I swear she's like a shark, man. She could pick up a drop of that shit in freaking 20 square miles of ocean. And it's amazing. Like, she's like, this beer needs more of this. And I'm like, it will argue. And so I'm like, and I finally realized, you know, I should stop arguing by now. She knows these beers better than the guy freaking brewing. And like, she really keeps me honest with these like beers. Like, she's, like the nose, amazing. She could pick up like no, this beer needs more grapefruit. This is not this. And I'm like, damn it!
Like she's right.
You know, it's like, but yeah, she's QA man, nice. QA QC, wow. Quality control chief.
Yeah,
yeah. She's definitely the backbone, man.
That's awesome.
So, what's the size of like your test batches that she's testing?
There's no test batch.
Oh, there's no test. You just go big. You just
screw it, brew it, man. Screw it, brew it. So I do.
Brew it.
I do my damn homework as much as I can. You kind of get used to the system. You know the limitations of it. You know your parameters. You know what different malts do. So I'll come up with a recipe. I get my percentages as close. Like you're always feeling in the dark on the first go around. As long as we get in the ballpark, we're good to go. You know. Knock on wood, like we never dump a batch. We basically just take it, put it on paper, scale it up, and like I said, man, screw it, brew it. So nice. No test batches.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Typical diver.
Yeah. Wing it.
Wing it.
Just get her done.
We've been doing, yeah, get her done, man. We've been doing a pretty good job winging it.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah, we pulled a lot of medals, so must be doing something right.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
So where are you from? Like what region?
Originally.
You know, I should always start off with that, man. Even when even when I do brewery tours.
I said y'all, and I was waiting for you to slap me.
What'd you say? Every time I do some brewery tour or some talk or something, people are just glossed over. And like, I was like, anybody got any questions? Like, yeah, where are you from? So nothing about sacrification and hydrolyzing solids and all that shit. No, okay. Right. No. So where are you from? South Kagalagi. South Carolina, the dirty South.
Okay.
Nice.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah. Upstate. To be specific, Greenville, Spartanburg area, upstate South Carolina.
A beautiful area, South Carolina.
Oh man, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Except for in the summer. I don't know, man. It's freaking
the whole South's so humid. It's just, and the mosquitoes.
Skeeters?
Yeah.
I said mosquitoes.
Yeah. What's the terminology? Swamp bud or something like that? It's a thing. It's a thing. Yeah. It's a thing.
Yeah. I was in Florida for 5 years and that sucked. It had good moments and bad moments, but the worst thing is the humidity and the mosquitoes.
Oh, God.
Just cannot get away from them. I came out of Mosquito Bay,
big ones
up near
too.
Canaveral, that just completely swollen up. I mean, they were eating me alive. We're trying to dive, so I'm in a wetsuit. Anything that wasn't protected was just instantly swollen from all the bites. So bad.
Oh,
God.
I think I heard it best. Like, those damn mosquitoes are so freaking big. Some of them's got ticks on them.
Right. So when they land, you can hear it like...
Yeah.
These tennis racket to kill them, huh?
Feels like getting hit with a pellet rifle. Oh, you guys are bringing back memories now.
That's what we're here for.
Swamp butt mosquitoes. Nice.
I mean, that brings me to another question. It's
perfect.
Do some of your, were you going to ask the same thing?
What are you going to ask?
Your personal memories, experiences. Does that influence your beer making?
We are not simpatico right now.
I thought we were. Nope. I was like all happy for a second. We shared a burrito, so I thought we shared more than this right now.
If it did things went like kind of sideways, my early beer experiences was a cold light lager in a trailer park.
Bush in the can. All right. It's got to be in the can, right?
I wish it was Bush in the can. It was a dirt road. Yeah. We won't talk about those. But I got lit up off that freaking beer, man. I think it was my first beer. Way underage.
Yeah.
That sounds like a trailer park scene, right? Underage drinking in the South.
Yep. What was your, since we're doing that, what was your first beer and what age there, guy? And you have to tell me.
I'm not going to be honest.
You're
going to
be honest.
My mom might be listening.
I don't care. Jesus is listening and you're going to lie to me right now. So there's that. Great.
No, my first beer, I was probably 19. So I wasn't too far from 21. I was good. The first time I had vodka was when I was 17. Mixing Gatorade with vodka, high school, Los Alamitos High, baby.
No. Fancy stuff.
Those white kids know how to party.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
The Gatorade was a nice touch.
Yeah.
I hope it was orange, so it was like close to a screwdriver.
Yeah. It was a bad decision.
Yeah, it typically is. Yeah, typically, the hard stuff better.
I mean, it was in a Gatorade bottle, Mom. I didn't know what was in it.
They just handed it to me.
Just handed it to me.
I thought I was hydrating.
Yeah.
16 Coors Original.
Coors.
San Diego.
Hand grenade?
I was in San Diego. Can.
The banquet beer.
The banquet beer.
Silver Bullet won't slow you down.
It made me sick. I was sick for a few. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know what I was doing. You know?
I don't think a lot of us do. At that time, we're just figuring it out. Yeah, that's, I've always, speaking of early experiences, and I just always loved beer, man. And people always ask me, like, why did you decide to open a brewery? And it's like, the running joke is like I told you guys earlier, it's like, I got a drinking problem.
Right.
I only got two hands and one mouth. I can't get it in quick enough. So it's like, so how do I make more of this cheaper?
Well, you got unlimited.
Because we're all in the Navy and we're poverty stricken. You know, it's like, Uncle Sam's not paying us enough, so let's go spend $3,000 on a home brew system and see if we can make cheap beer. But I don't know, man. Somewhere along the lines, went from the whole mass produced lager stuff to like craft beer. And it's like, I just You know, the big thing about it is it's like making stuff that makes people happy. Like if you look in the background, everybody's here. It's like their second living room. They're having a good time. They're talking. There's no TVs. There's no clocks. People are coming in to have a good conversation over a beer, a local brewery, support a local brewery. It's just something magical about that, to be able to be a part of that and help create that environment for people. So I guess the beer is kind of it's center stage, but it's literally like a social liquid. So
yeah,
love it, man. Love it. Yeah. Wouldn't change it for a minute.
For those listening at home, I mean, we are in a working brewer right now, and I've seen people come and go, buying their cans, leaving, staying. So what's your distribution like?
Very small.
Very small.
Yeah. The tour earlier, it's a small 7-barrel brewery. We, distribution is like a really go big or go home game, like large volume. We just can't support a large distribution footprint. So we have a small ultra local distribution footprint, a couple bars and restaurants in town. Probably about the farthest we go out is probably about 30 miles up in Ojai. And we have, it's not 30 miles away, but Camarillo. Some people act like it's the other end of the world.
Right.
They're like, we don't get over here this way that much. And I'm like, where are we coming from? Thinking like LA over the grate or something. I'm like, oh, Camarillo. I'm like, dude, it's right down the road.
Yeah. Well, today it wasn't.
Today.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Yeah, Friday traffic, man. It's a thing.
It's Friday. Yeah, see, I didn't know it was a thing.
That bottleneck.
Next time I do this, I'll do it on the weekend.
Yeah.
Do it on a Saturday night or something, Sunday.
Yeah. That'd probably be your better bet.
Man, I am getting thirsty, dying for a beer. So we're going to take a quick break on the Bottom Dwellers Beer Club. See you in a little bit.
Be sure to listen, like, follow, and share our other show called the Bottom Dwellers Beer Club, a show about our favorite topside dives, eateries, and breweries, where we discuss the ins and outs of running an establishment and what it takes for breweries to keep up with the latest and greatest trends. Follow us on our Instagram at Bottom Dwellers Beer Club. Visit thebottomdwellers.com and listen to all our episodes on all major podcast platforms. Did I also mention you can find us on YouTube? Well, you can. Search Bottom Dwellers Beer Club. That's Bia with a B-I-E-R.
Man, so we're back, and I got in my hand a delicious grapefruit IPA, which is what you were drinking, right, Johnny?
Yes, that's right. It's really good. I enjoyed it. I moved on to the Schwarbier.
Schwartz beer.
My Schwartz is greater than yours.
I see your Schwartz is as big as mine.
All right, who here knows that reference?
I don't think, yeah.
Two people out of 75.
Who under 30?
And they're all under 30. Oh my gosh. Such a great movie. That was Spaceballs for those listening at home. This beer is great. What goes into making a Schwartz beer?
What goes great to making a Schwartz beer?
Yeah.
The Schwartz.
Made a Schwartz
beer. Holy shit, I freaking lied earlier. We have four lagers on the board. I totally forgot about the Schwartz beer.
Yeah, because all the German, weird names are lagers, right?
Yeah, I saw that up on the top, and I was like, whoa, what's that one? I'm going to pick that one, because it has the Schwartz in it.
I need to get my shit together.
Yeah, Schinerbach is a lager.
It's, dude.
It's kind of weird.
Literally, balance. Balance, man. Like, unbelievable balance between, like, the roasted malts and some people put chocolate malts in there and stuff, and then the balance between the noble hops and how those all blend together. It's, like, literally balance. Like, PFM. Pure fucking magic. A little bit of that, too.
You made a lot of shirts in this podcast, like a lot of nice little slogans that you need to put on your shirts.
I have been known to have a couple of sayings. People call them Ollie-isms, they come out every once in a while, especially after a couple of beers. Yeah.
So what was your favorite dive pad in the Navy?
Ah.
Let's go back to diving for a little bit.
Let's go to diving for a little bit.
Divers Left Service. Charles Martin. There I was, 190 feet. Nothing but the air left in my watch. Biggest goddamn octopus you ever saw. The only rig that I really dove was a 21.
When I was getting out, they were coming out with the newer version, not with the horse collar, but with the lock and pins. What was that? Which one was that?
Cam lock.
Yeah.
That's the prototype, I believe.
Yeah. Down to 27. That was a freaking nice rig. Not too much difference from the 21 to me, but the whole lock and pin neck damn thing was a lot nicer. You know, you didn't have somebody put you in a headlock to lock the damn pin in and stuff. But I got to dive the Mark V.
Nice.
Not on an official Navy freaking dive, but it was in a swamp in Florida. Something always happens in the South, right?
Yeah, that Florida, man.
Yeah.
I forget who does that, dude.
That shit was legit.
Because there's like one dude that does the hard hat, like diving tour type thing.
Yeah. This guy was in the teams. Later, man. This guy was in the teams, Jim McVicker. He had the full setup, man.
Nice.
It was amazing. I dove that and one of the shallow water helmets. They call it the shallow water drowning helmet because you can like feel the water. Every time you take a breath, the water's coming up through your freaking nostrils and shit. It's like literally like a damn bucket over your head, just screaming loud noise, air just like full blast. Yeah. Like no comms or anything. Like you literally walk down the ladder, take a breath hold, put this bucket over your head, and I'm like, "Fuck, man! I'm glad we came a long ways." And then so that was fun actually, you know. And then we got to dive the Mark V. I don't know if you guys dove that thing.
I have not yet.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't do the College of Oceaneering, huh?
Yeah. No, we didn't do that. No, we did the Desco. Okay. And that was it. Yeah, just the rat hat, really.
That freaking rig's no joke, dude. The sheer weight in it, and plus the volume dry suit or the suit, you have to put the air in it. So you're actually like, to me, it was kind of like diving a miniature submarine because you had to like ballast yourself because you had the damn massive weight belt, the boots, and the knife and all that. And so you're actually putting air in this freaking suit. Like, especially when you're, like, coming up, you have to, like, be cognizant of, like, dumping the air out of it so you don't blow up to the freaking surface. It's like,
kill yourself.
And that's just all on you, man.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like a 21 strap to your head and you got a wetsuit on. It's a little bit more work involved, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that suit is your bailout. That's a cool thing about that suit.
Yeah.
If you run out of air, you're just breathing off your suit.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, you'll feel it real quick. But different rigs for different reasons. I mean, the one that I really liked was it was the Mark 20 as a band mask.
Oh yes,
got some feedback.
Yeah,
but it really just depended on what you're doing. And it's like what the mission was, and then like your mobility, your needs for your mobility. Like, did you need to be heavy on the bottom, or do you need to be like super mobile? You know, it's like. And if you were like 20s with smart rope and scuba, I mean, you get a lot of shit done, you know. And it's high speed, low drag, but you just can't beat that freaking rig for like what we were doing, like welding, jetting, freaking concrete, like all kinds of shit in this rig right here. This thing will take a beating.
That's a workhorse.
Yeah, it's a freaking workhorse, dude. Kirby Morgan, if you're out there, thank you. Really good. You made a freaking phenomenal product.
It's a Cadillac of dive helmets.
Yeah.
Wait, what is the Cadillac of dive helmets?
The 17B is the Cadillac of all dive helmets.
Wrong. Wrong.
Absolutely right. Absolutely.
Wrong. That is wrong.
All right.
And you know what's wrong. No. Yeah.
It sounds like a heavily debated topic.
I'm not diving to the 17B anymore because it's not my hat. Because I've already made that significantly clear.
Because it's trash.
It's not because it's
27 is the best helmet there is.
All right, whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Until the next one.
Yeah.
We're just going to cover it.
Yeah, just forget it. You know,
we're going to come full circle. They're going to bring the Mark V back.
There you go.
Band mask. Plastic, that's what we need.
A plastic Mark V, right?
That's what we need is the band mask at work.
Yeah, band mask is what
we need. But we'll never get it. We have 18 different hats.
Band mask is great if you want ear infections.
Snorkel.
There you go.
Yeah.
Snorkeling Schwartz beer.
And that's
that's where the name came from, by the way. Snorkeling Schwartz.
Snorkeling Schwartz.
Snorkeling
Schwartz.
So what are some other plans for... actually, you know what? Let's not get into your other plans. I want to hear the...
Which one, though? The beer one or the dive one?
Let's do both. Let's do both.
Donnie, yeah, but he's never dumped a beer, so I don't know what his oh shit story is going to be.
I'm sure he's got one.
Do you have an oh shit story for the brewing community?
For the brewing community?
Yeah, like oh shit.
We've got to open and we've got no beer.
We got nothing. Or
a rat chewed through our lines.
Yeah. This place is flooded. Why?
Oh man.
A homeless encampment's in the backyard.
Yeah. An oh shit.
There's feces on the wall. No one was here.
There is always something. Always something. Like I get the call like, hey, there's a small drip in the sink and it's kind of filling up. And I'm at home and I'm like, okay, well, can you do anything about it? Right, we're heading over. I'll come over. Here we get over. The sink's goddamn full and it's freaking running. And it's like, and the place is packed. It's like, so there's, and it's like, holy shit. Like, this is a little bit more serious than the field report.
Yeah. This was not a trip.
This is not a good bottom report. Like, I can't work off of this. So, like, literally, I go into like high speed, low drag mode. Like, go grab the freaking plunger. Go grab damn Drano's. Like, you know, because we're like, it's packed, man. We need the bathroom. Like,
so water coming out?
No, it's in the sink, man. Oh, it's sink. Just like the sink got backed up. And it's like the automatic stopper because for like COVID, we did everything battery operated. So people didn't have to touch anything. So that thing would not turn off. There's always stuff like that going on. I remember when we opened this new tap room up, literally the crew did not even, this was for our 7-year anniversary last year. The crew didn't even know that they were working in here until the day they showed up on the anniversary day. And it was, you know, nothing motivates anybody more than the last freaking second. So it's like, come in, the lights that you pointed out earlier, they weren't all up.
Okay.
And I'm talking to the contractor. I'm like, dude, get it fucking done. I'm like, what do you need? Like, and then I had a bunch of buddies here. I'm like, this is when we had a warehouse across the street. I'm like, get this shit pallet up, sweep it up, get it the fuck out. Like, let's fucking go. It's go time. And then, like, the crew rocked up, and I'm like, this is it. We're here today. Pouring beer out of this tap system. Like, no familiarization with it. No fam dive, right? Like, this is how it works. So
they had the oh shit moment.
Yeah, yeah. But, dude, they always rise to the challenge, man. That's always great. I can't say enough about the crew, because you can make the best beer in the world, but these guys are on the front line and they're the ones that bring it home. They're the ones that take the ball into the end zone. They're the ones that, like, they manage the day to day, you know. That's my plug for the crew. Freaking phenomenal. I've worked with some phenomenal people, man.
Nothing makes a better crew than going through adversity.
Especially being in the diving world, it can freaking make it or break it with the people that you work with, man. A band of brothers or a band of fucking misfit assholes. It's like,
then everyone dies.
You know, it's like, I'm gonna freaking wait till I dive with this guy. You know, it's like, or it's like, man, everybody's got everybody's back, you know. But that feeling when you build that unity in that community and you get that tight teamwork, man, it's like, oh, it'll put goosebumps on your arms, you know.
Dude, I love this place even more after talking with you, because it's like you're bringing that diver mentality into the brewing. You're not posing. You're not just doing it for fashion or for fun or for the names. You're bringing the lifestyle and that mentality right into it, and you're kicking it. You're killing it.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. It definitely is it's a mentality, man. You know, you can tell people who try to, like, that whole saying, I hate even saying it. People are like, fake it till you make it. Dude, wrong terrible answer, saying. Man. Bring your fucking A game every day. Do your damn best. Cause you know what? Your buddy relies on you, you know? So there's a saying, the blue falcon, right? You guys heard of that one? Don't be the buddy fucker.
Oh yeah.
Maybe I was a blue falcon.
We have one of those.
Because I haven't heard of it.
We have one of those.
Yeah.
Well, it's not me, dude.
No, the eye roll. Blue falcon.
Yeah.
I wanted to name a beer blue falcon so bad.
But it's like, that'd be amazing.
But what's that going to be? I don't know.
But yeah. Like your shittiest beer, right?
Yeah.
Blue Falcon. Because
Blue Falcon. The one that your wife said. Oh, this is terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we just named it Blue Falcon.
No.
Okay, so the other oh shit, do you have an oh shit for diving? Like, I should be dead right now.
You know, not really, man, because I do have, like, one. And it's not really that much of an oh shit, but it could have been.
Like, something that you're looking
for. It could have been a freaking scenario where it had the potential to put you in a compromising situation. We were doing 190-footers out in Guam. We're working on mooring systems for the fleet mooring systems, fleet marines, merchant marines, sorry. Those big tankers that they got stored up. I don't know how. I'll dial back the story a little bit. Anyway, so we're working on these things. And we're down there. Hard shit. It's the best diving in the world, dude. Freaking crystal blue water, 80-some degrees. We're hard hat, fucking deep-sea boots. Freaking, but at the time we got rid of UDTs. We're wearing the green shorts,
nice.
T-shirts, and just when people ask me, like, where was your favorite place to dive? It's Guam, hands down.
Heard that a couple of times.
Amazing. Freaking amazing. And down there, and you're higher as shit, 190 feet. 190 feet standard air. Pretty freaking knocked out.
You're getting narked there.
And then it was very, still to this day is kind of fuzzy, but something sounded like a 12-gauge went off. Pow! I'm like, what the fuck was that? I didn't think anything about it. I'm like, oh, well, I got another freaking 300 yards of chain to swim out. I better get moving, right?
Right.
You know, there's an anchor at the end of this thing, a 10,000-pound anchor I got to find to make sure that thing's still there. So we're coming back, and we just got the Orca system, and we're doing, like, in-water O2 decompression tables. We're testing them out for the team and stuff. And, you know, you're face port to face port, and they're like, how's red, how's green? Good to go. And the guy's like, hey, red diver's got this stream of bubbles coming out of his the high-pressure EGS freaking line.
Oh.
Wow. The suit comes over. He's like, what's your pressure? What's your EGS pressure? And I look at it. Fuck, zero.
Oh, man. Shit.
Let that freaking sink in for a minute. So what happened was that this intermediate whip right here, I mean, like, you don't think anything could happen to this, but this thing it's perforated. So it's made to like let a tiny bit of air out before it like completely freaking ruptures. So a golf ball size blister came up on this thing and ruptured. And that was like right when I hit the bottom. So the whole time this thing was bleeding out.
Wow.
So that's why I say it had the potential to be something like if I needed to go on EGS, if I no shit needed to go on EGS, it was not going to be there. So that's literally like, man, that's it. Other than almost put my damn hand right on a rockfish and not even seeing it right in front of me. It's probably like, you know, a buddy of mine's like, thing. Like, move your hand. Like,
God.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that street sweeper go by freaked me out.
Yeah.
I'm losing air. I'm losing air.
You tell the story.
It's all normal to me because I'm like, they're like, oh, there's street sweepers here.
Missing air. That happened to Sean.
That is crazy. Yeah.
Remember his EGS? His started blistering.
Yeah, we caught it. Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, dude, that thing, it literally sounded like a 12-gauge went off.
That's crazy.
Like, just fucking loud. Like, at 190 feet, it was loud.
That's so weird because, like I said, those whips aren't...
Yeah. You would never think that.
You would never think that. Like, in my career, I've never had a whip fail on it.
Not one time.
You have so much faith and confidence in that rig. As much PMS, that's preventative maintenance system. It's not punishment syndrome, whatever you want to call it. But, like... as much work
no way.
As we put into those rigs and do the pre-dive checks and all that shit, and like we do the whips and the vips and like all the like it is like extensive for that happen. It was just such a in my whole dive Navy career, that is the one and only time I've ever seen any line rupture.
Yeah, because they're designed not to do that.
Yeah. And that was it. I mean, other, yeah, sorry. You know what's funny is that, like,
I don't. Why is there a street sweeper on a Friday night outside the building? It's literally like, you know, 7:20 p.m. You know, and there's a street sweeper.
You know what's funny is like they haven't been here forever. It's almost like they started the contract back up. And I was literally thinking like, oh, I haven't seen those guys in a while. Like here they are when we're doing a freaking podcast.
It's all right. It just adds to the mystique of the Bottom Dwellers Beer.
Yeah, stick around. There's always some weird shit going on, right? But yeah, that was it, man. I can't think of another one really. But that's, like that one, like out of all the dives, it's like that evening I was like, holy shit, man, what if there was a catastrophic failure on like primary and secondary and I really needed that bottle? That thing wouldn't have been there.
Mm-mm. But
yeah. Hey, what's that saying, man? Danger's no stranger. Freaking, we knew what we were getting into.
Yeah. So this is much more chill.
You would hope that you got enough sense to stick the pneumo in your freaking neck, ma'am, and they purge it. And you get a little breath of air once in a while.
Yeah.
Till your buddy comes over and like, you know what? There was another one, man. It was we were doing ice diving up in Colorado, Green Mountain Reservoir. We were gearing up. We were doing workups for Thule Greenland. We had a big mission up there, so we'd practice ice diving. And dude, I got bitch wrists. I ain't gonna lie to you; they're tiny freaking wrists. And I got a freaking pencil neck. And to me, dry suit.
I didn't mean to laugh at you. Sorry.
No, that's cool. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's funny, but
I just never heard that
dry
before,
suit.
Bitch wrist. I've never
dry
heard
suit thing. Is a freaking oxymoron. I have never put on a damn dry suit that freaking stayed dry in my life. So we're up there and this freaking thing leaks and we lose comms. And I'm with the CO. And we had these big ass freaking mittens on. So you can't really tell if I'm giving a four or a three or what. And they're like, oh yeah, freaking Red Diver, he's waving at me. I'm like, nah. Like I'm freaking like, and it's like freaking coming in like, and it was like fire, like fucking fire. You know, like, and I'm thinking like, even thinking back, I'm like, why didn't fucking just do line full signals? I'm trying to like communicate to this guy and I'm sticking my hand up. He's like, I'm waving at him and I'm trying to tell him four, like, let's get the fuck out of here. Like, I'm about to drown in this thing. And we finally get up and like pull this, all this freaking water comes out. And I'm like, dude, it was a four. Like, let's go. And I you know what? I even remember reaching over and like grabbing his Miller harness. I'm like, fucking pull it. I'm like, yeah, dig it. It's like, he just wasn't getting it. And I'm like, other than that, I mean, but like, it's safest diving, man. Safest diving in the world.
Yeah, it sure is.
Yeah. Good times, man. Good times. I enjoyed every freaking bit of it.
That's
good. I wouldn't trade that. I wouldn't trade that career for nothing.
Except for beer brewing.
Yeah, that's debatable sometimes.
You know? Like, why didn't you get into the commercial side? You went into the beer brewing after the Navy, or how'd that all come about?
Yeah, you talking about commercial side of diving?
Yeah. I'm always curious.
Kind of thought about it for a little bit, but then it was kind of like one of those things where you don't know what you don't know, and I knew that I needed a little bit of a break. I mean, I was running pretty hard toward the end. It was panning pretty hard, and I don't know if I expounded on this, but like while I was doing this, getting this thing ready up and running. I was doing future and current operations at the team, and I was traveling around the freaking planet. Mm. I was setting up operations in Timor-Leste. I was setting up operations in Korea, Philippines, freaking Japan, like multiple sites in the pack. So I was on a plane. I was on a plane all the time. So I was literally doing this on like nights and weekends, and it was taxing, right? So it took. It took everything I had to focus on the actual mission, because those guys that were geared up and that were going down range, they deserved everything that I could give them to make sure that they were set up for success on their missions. Mission failure is not an option, right? So I was putting 110% into that, and then also like putting whatever I had left into this, because I knew that I was getting ready to retire. So I guess saying that to say this, to actually take the mental capacity and look into transition into the commercial space, it just wasn't there. You know, already made two major decisions. Hey, I'm going to finish this career strong, and I'm at the same time, I'm going to build this up and try to set this up for success also.
Yeah.
And it was like another thing, like, you don't know. It's like, I don't know who's who in the zoo. And you're going to be the FNG again. You're going to be the fucking new guy for you guys out there in podcast land. I don't know what that is. It's like, after 24 years to freaking like go back to ground zero and start, I was like, it's like, could have done it, man. I'm a human person. It's like, but it was, I don't know. At some point it was kind of been there, done that too, you know?
Years, yeah.
You know, and it was like, I just wanted to shift gears.
Totally,
I wanted to shift gears into something a little bit different. And you know, and if it didn't work out, then that was always there. That was an option.
Plan B.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, you guys are probably going to laugh. You always hear the overseas, because I know you guys, we were talking earlier where you guys are working on the Queen Mary, which is freaking amazing. Doing like anodes, metal thickness testing and stuff. And you hear about all the glamorous shit, like the six-figure tax-free in Dubai. Yeah, and like, right. they put you up in a 12,000 square foot flat. And like, they bring you beers. Like, I don't know how true all this is, but like, I just wasn't ready to find out at the time either. But like, you know, you end up in some sweat box somewhere.
Yeah.
But
more anyway, often than not,
yeah,
you end up in a weird place away from your family. And away from your personal life, it's a trade-off. There's no way you could have done this brewery venture and been a commercial diver or continue your dive career. I am glad you jumped full in to the brewing.
Me too.
Because this beer is flipping phenomenal.
Thanks, fellas. Appreciate it.
It's delicious. Do you have any other events coming up or anything else you kind of want to plug before we
do.
Head on?
We have a big one coming up, and it's our Oktoberfest. And the beer for that one is Das Boot.
Das Boot.
And I know it means the boat, but everybody from Beer Fest is like Das
right.
Boot.
Right.
So like we actually I think there's one year we missed, but we actually have a commemorative boot for every single year.
That's so cool.
Every year people are like, can I bring in my boot from last year? Like, no, no, nine. Like, you cannot. So everybody comes in. They're all dressed up in like their lederhosen and oh my god, I'm having a brain fart on the dress, the drindle. Their drindles and lederhosen, and we always have a food truck that does some type of German fair style food.
Oh,
or
they'll
make brats in the beer. Like, it's amazing.
Gotta do a Steinholding contest. Do you do any Steinholding contests?
You know what? Vanita actually mentioned that this year about doing a Steinholding contest. There's actually a national Steinholding organization, like association, something like it's structured, right?
Yep,
like these guys are like
serious.
Legit.
I want
like
to do
beer
it.
like the movie, the beer games, like no shit. So it's like they reached out to us about doing it. I don't know where she got with it. I was like, yeah, I'm on board, let's do it. But that event is, it rivals our anniversary. It is huge. I mean, this place looks like little Germany. We put up, you guys seen all the decorations earlier during the tour and stuff.
Yeah.
So this place turns into a no shit, like German beer hall, and it stays packed. That whole patio stays packed. The other space, the brewery place, stays packed. It's, and everybody's coming out for the Das Boot in the boot.
Nice.
So it's really fun to watch like hundreds of people walking around drinking out of the boots, the little minutes we do the 20-ounce boots. It's
that's awesome.
We have the Oompa Paw bands.
Love it.
Yeah, so that one's coming up. That's September 17th, Saturday, right?
Oh, perfect. So this is probably going to be the following weekend when this airs. So September 17th. And if you're listening to this episode after September 17th, sorry, you missed out.
Yep.
Come back next year because you do this every year, right?
Every year, dude.
Nice.
Huge, huge friggin' event. And that's the next biggest one. And then for Christmas, I mean, that's a little farther on down the road, but we do a cask mist where we make a bunch of different casks off of the beers. We try to have like, I think 12, how many days of Christmas is it? What's that song?
12
days of Christmas, right? Shows you how much I give a shit. But like, like we try to make like 12 days of Christmas, 12 casks. We call it cask mist. So we do like 12 different Christmas themed beers, cask off of the beers that we have on tap. And then I think that's going to finish the year for the two major events. Right, but on. We always do like we've had music on the weekends, and sometimes we have some pop up stuff. So it's just like I always tell people, like, hey man, go to the interwebs, go to the freaking Instagram, follow it. You want to stay up to date?
What's the Instagram plug in the?
Yeah, at Poseidon Brewing Co.
Yep.
Brand new website up. Another thing that Vanita did, she freaking put that whole freaking thing. It's amazing what she did with that website. Like I said, I can't say enough stuff about how much heavy lifting she does on the backside. You know, she's like this. Who's ever heard of AM divers and PM divers? Like the AM divers, you know, they're going to fuck shit up. So you put them in the morning. So they're just like, I just let them splash around. And then the PM divers are the ones that know their shit. You put them in the afternoon. So it's time to go home and drink beer. So it's like, she is definitely the freaking PM diver, man. Heavy freaking lifter, mover shaker. She's the one that comes in and just freaking, she's a cleaner. She gets it done, man. Hands down.
That's great. Well, we've had a great time. It's been amazing. Thank you so much for talking with us.
Dude, likewise, guys.
And man, I don't want to go. I want to live here.
You guys are about to interview a friend of mine, Misa, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Misa Correa.
So make sure you check out our other show, The Bottom Dwellers Dive Shack, to listen to part two of the Poseidon Extravaganza, podcast extravaganza. And it's going to be a banger.
Whatever she says is not true.
All right.
Cheers.
Well, cheers, guys.
Thank you
so much.
Hey, thanks for having me. I had a blast.
Awesome. We'll see you next time on the Bottom Dweller Spirit Club. I hope you've enjoyed listening to this episode of the Bottom Dwellers Dive Shack. Make sure you like and follow on our social media pages on Instagram and Facebook. Please share this podcast with your friends or anyone interested in commercial diving. The only way that we can make this successful is if we do get a lot of people that are listening. We get more listeners, we get more sponsors, and that means more free stuff for you guys. That's right. We are hooking up all of our diver brothers and sisters in the trade. And if you keep sharing and liking, we're able to do that a lot more. Our Instagram is at Bottom Dwellers DS. Our Facebook is Bottom Dwellers Dive Shack. And you can always like and follow me at LB Diver on both. The Bottom Dwellers Dive Shack is available on all podcast platforms, Apple, Spotify, Anchor. We also have it streaming on our website at thebottomdwellers.com. So keep listening, keep it safe, keep it salty. This is LB Diver, out.